Welcome to National Treasure Hunt, the podcast where the secret lies not only with Charlotte, but also with your co-hosts. I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Emily.
And I think this might be one of our most fun episodes in a long time. And that's not to like talk poorly about our previous episodes. I love every episode we have ever created.
Wow.
But this one I think is going to be entertaining for us all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely, in doing the prep for it, kind of felt like I was back in like season one.
This
like,
is
it was good.
It's deep Parkington Lane.
Oh yeah. The kind of stuff that any non-fans are not going to care about.
No, but the people who are listening at this point in season 8 are going to eat this up. Okay, everyone, today on National Treasure Hunt, we are going to be doing the hard-hitting research to tell you how much it would cost you to conduct a national treasure heist. I've got to say, the idea for this episode came from the holiday season 2023. I don't know if folks remember this at this point, but all of these pop culture media outlets were doing like these deep cut analyses of classic Christmas movies, specifically Home Alone. Emily, I saw a lot. I'm not sure if you can relate.
I've not seen Home Alone, so no.
It has nothing to do with seeing Home Alone. These are the articles.
Well, I didn't see the articles either.
Okay. Well, for those of you who are familiar with Home Alone, you might have seen articles in the recent holiday season that were asking, like, how much would Kevin's grocery run have cost in 2023? Right? Because he's this little kid going to the grocery store. He has, like, $20, and he, like, buys a bunch of stuff. And so people were, like, doing the math with inflation. And then another one that I saw was like, what was the McAllister family's annual income given the value of their enormous home and like fancy trip to Paris they were taking, et cetera, et cetera. So naturally, seeing those articles got me thinking, like, what has monetary value in national treasure that we would care about? And the first thing that came to mind was the heists.
Not the treasure.
We've kind of already done that.
Oh, I know. I just used that the first thing that came to mind.
Well,
so.
We have the, I feel like this is this at least the second time this season that heists are taking center stage on National Treasure Hunt, which is also exciting. It's like a little through line.
Yeah. It might be the last time, so don't think of it as too much of a through line, folks. But, yeah.
Okay, whatever. So before we dive in and start breaking down some numbers today, we must do what we all come here to do, to commiserate that National Treasure has taken over our lives by sharing our screams from Parkington Lane. Emily, I always ask you to start off. How has National Treasure crept into your life this week?
This is actually one I've been holding on to for a while. In the summer I was in Bethlehem up in the Lehigh Valley. And we were walking around and I saw that there was a place called the Payne Art Gallery. And to most people that probably doesn't ring a bell, but to me I immediately thought Thomas Paine.
Nice.
It is not spelled the same way, but that did not deter me from having the thought.
I love that for you.
Yeah. How about you?
My scream is actually kind of Edge of History related. I was at a pizza place recently, and you know, they have like ambient music on, like in the background. And the song, the way I wrote down the notes that I wouldn't forget was the song from the storage unit scene came on. Okay, so you know how early, like, I think it's the first present day scene in Edge of History is where we meet Jess inside of a storage unit, or like she's cleaning out Sadusky's storage, something with, she's in a storage unit. I think it's Sadusky's, yeah. Because the reason this song is so stuck in my brain is because I had to watch that scene 8,000 times to do the Sadusky storage unit episode. So for those who aren't following along, this is the song A-OK by Ty Verdes. It's this, it goes, living in this big blue world. My head up in outer space. I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K.
Oh,
That one? Yeah. Okay. So it plays in that scene. I heard it at this pizza shop and I'm like, oh my God. And it like hit me like a ton of bricks because I immediately thought of that scene. I'm like traumatized by having to watch that scene so many times. And then it also made me remember that back in the summer, also call back to the summer, I went to, as I am wont to do, all of the San Francisco Giants games in Philly. And so that's like 3 days in a row. Bryson Stott, who's on the Phillies, his walkout song is this song. And so the first time it
I
came
was gonna
on,
say, it sounds familiar.
exactly. I was like, oh my God. Every time he went up to bat, I had the same like jolted reaction. So that's my scream.
Love that for you.
Thank you. We love these things for each other, which is really just a beautiful bit of camaraderie. I did also want to take a moment to share a brief scream from my mom, whom everyone knows is an avid National Treasure hunter. I was on the phone with her earlier today, and she was like, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. The other day, I saw a car with a Florida license plate, and the license plate had the Freemason symbol on it." So.
Wow. What's the, I guess, yeah. I guess Florida doesn't super play into it, right?
No, it's the fact that there was a Freemason symbol on it.
Yeah. I
I
didn't
don't know
know if there
why
was
we're.
some connection I was missing.
Well, I mean, you know me, I can make any connection for you. For example, we know that the National Treasure 2 book actually starts off the coast of Florida with Fort Jefferson.
Okay, well, for that and more fun facts, you can go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NT Hunt Podcast. We're also available at nthuntpodcast.com. Please go ahead and order our book, National Treasure Hunt, One Step Short of Crazy, at tuckerdspress.com. And you can also join our Patreon at patreon.com/nthuntpodcast. If you join at the Ben or Abigail tiers, you can join us for quarterly watch parties.
Wow, you really make that sound exciting to do, Emily.
It is exciting to do. I very much enjoy it.
Okay, I agree. It is a good time. So, let's get to the task at hand. Let's get to deciphering how much it would cost to conduct the National Treasure heist. How this is going to play out. We are going to kind of use our episode 71 guide, which is where we broke down or like defined what the actual heists were in the National Treasure movies and the show. We'll, for each heist, we will create a shopping list, basically all of the items or like the travel that's required to do them. Then we're going to figure out basically the sum total to tell you what it would cost to do the heist. And then we're just gonna like see whether we're surprised and decide whether we think it was a good investment for the purpose of the actual treasure hunt. I think that's about right. Does that sound right to you, Em?
It does. I'm just pumped to get into this.
Okay, well, first, before we do, I think it's really important that we create some ground rules for ourselves because I don't want people to like at us being like, oh, your methodologies, I don't believe you. Like, why did you count this and not that? So, some ground rules that we're going to follow. We are for National Treasure and for National Treasure 2. They did not take place like in 2024-ish times. In fact, they took place quite a long time ago at this point. So we will give the cost in the year that they took place, as well as today's cost. And then for Edge of History, we're just going to give like the today cost. So we're talking like 2023, 2024, even though the show technically took place like a year or two before. So you might ask where we're going to get some of the values that we're working with, especially for the 2004 and 2007 references. For basic non-techie items, we're just going to take the price from today and use the US Bureau of Labor Statistics CPI inflation calculator. We'll set the calculator to basically say this was the price in December 2023, and we want you, calculator, to calculate the cost in December 2004 or December 2007 as relevant. But I thought that was going to be all we had to do, Em. I forgot that not everything is like adjusted based on inflation exclusively, specifically techie things. So like,
Oh.
yeah, right? Like in 2004, a computer wouldn't be the same price as today, just adjusted down for inflation. Computers were like, not, I don't want to say they were new, but they were newer and the technology was different. So for these sorts of techie things, things that might have been a little more expensive in 2004 than today, based on common standards, we're going to have to do a little bit more digging for what they actually cost at the time.
Yes, and by we, Aubrey means she, because she did the movie related stuff.
Yeah, I thought I was being nice.
You were.
Right, but I thought I was. Okay, I thought I was being nice and doing heists that I really liked. It turns out I was just making life really difficult for myself because not only did that require all this back calculating, but there are 8,000 items in the first National Treasures heist.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other ground rules we're going to play with, number one, we're going to assume our heist doers don't actually have any of the objects that they're going to need. We recognize this probably isn't true for all the items, but we'll just like note during our discussion if or when they might have already had a thing. And then finally, we're not necessarily going to go for the most expensive or the cheapest option for a thing. We'll go for somewhat of a median or an average, unless we're led to believe that a certain quality was needed based on the movie or show context. And like when in doubt, I don't know, Emily, I ended up like searching the thing on Amazon and averaging like the first five products.
Yeah, I didn't do exactly that, but yes, it was similar.
Okay. I think we have all our ground rules, and I'm really excited to dive in.
Yeah, let's go, please.
All right. Well, you got to start where any National Treasure conversation starts, stealing the Declaration of Independence in the year 2004. So Emily, my shopping list, as I already alluded to, is very long.
Okay. To start with like most like obvious.
I think one of the most quintessential pieces was like Riley's laptop and the software for hacking the security feeds, all of that.
Okay.
So today's cost for this, I think Riley has a pretty techie, good laptop, but I don't think he's necessarily purchasing the very, very top of the line. We don't really have reason to believe that he could necessarily like afford that or why. I kind of figured a good laptop, nothing super cheap, but not all the bells and whistles. So I said today we're talking like a $1,500 laptop and maybe like $200 for some software. Guys, the software is a total guess. I don't know what kind of software you need to hack an archive security system. I don't know if that kind of software would be like subscription based.
I'll get to it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I total guesstimated. In National Treasure time in 2004, this was. It was really when I was doing this part of the research that I was like, oh, I just can't do inflation here, can I? I had to do some digging and found that a decent laptop at the time would be around 1,400. $100 for kind of what I was envisioning. So you can see already how it doesn't scale, right? It doesn't scale. So that one wasn't based on inflation. Software, again, since I have absolutely nothing to compare it to, I did do inflation-based rates. So I did $124 for National Treasure Time.
Okay. That's decent. But obviously laptops were not the only thing.
They were not, although they immediately jack up your total cost. Just pointing
that
out. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Yes. So the next thing I thought of, I'm just trying to go through at this point the prep sequence for that we saw on screen. Thank you. And I thought of Ben using his digital camera and some Photoshop to generate this archives janitor badge that was important for him getting into the actual archives building. So today, digital camera, again, not a junk one, but not a really expensive one, $46.
That's how much a digital camera is today? I'm sorry, I'll wait. Well,
that's fine. Some of them are very cheap. Some of them are way more than that. So again, Amazon, first five, average $46. Okay. But then it came to the Photoshop, which I personally do not have Photoshop. I was very surprised to learn that Photoshop is $23 per month. So I'm giving Ben a 1 month modern day subscription.
Yeah. I feel like he wouldn't have it long term.
No need. We're just doing a heist.
Yeah.
If we do the heist correctly, we won't need to do it again.
Exactly.
So
until the second movie.
And we don't even need the Photoshop for that one.
Yeah.
So National Treasure Time, another not based on inflation camera, way more expensive. I found, again, a wide range of prices here that could get into the thousands, but a middle ground, I'm going to say $250. The real kicker here was how much Photoshop cost at the time. Do you have any guesses?
I'm scared. No.
So in 2005, as close as I could find, Photoshop cost $600.
Per month?
No.
Like on a CD.
Yeah, because subscription monthly, like digital things, weren't really in until the past few years.
Wow.
That's a lot, right?
It is a lot of
it's
money.
More than the camera.
Yeah. And he would have had to get the whole thing.
Yeah. Even for the one heist, for the 1 month's Photoshop. One use.
Oh, Ben.
Oh, Ben, indeed. So back at Ben's apartment, we see him referencing like a lot of books as he's planning, specifically related to things like the Declaration of Independence casing and all of that. I'm going to say that today, that would be free. Just find it online.
Good point.
Do you want to know what I think it costs a National Treasure Time?
Does a library card cost money?
Nope.
Oh, then
free. Find it in a library. That is exactly what I wrote. Okay, next. Green laser pointer plus thermometer plus camcorder. All right, this is part of Riley testing and then implementing the heat sensor trick.
Okay.
So today, a green laser pointer, remember back in our science episode for this, we talked about why for his trick to have been even like had an iota of a chance of working, this would have to be a pretty strong, pretty powerful laser pointer. So I'm going to say $75 for the pointer. You can get cheap laser pointers like on Amazon, but those are typically like the really weak ones. I'm going to say $14 for the thermometer. I literally bought one of these for National Treasure Hunt purposes before. You have to go back a couple years on our Instagram to see the picture.
But you know from
But
experience.
I know from experience. And then using the Amazon method again, I'm going to say $209 for the camcorder.
Okay.
So just this one little element, we're in the hundreds of dollars. I'm just throwing that out there. National Treasure cost, like National Treasure era. $47 for the pointer, $9 for the thermometer, and then the camcorder is not going to follow our inflation rules. So I'm assigning the camcorder at $500 in 2004 time. I'm basing that off of the fact that apparently they ranged from around $500 to $3,000 at the time. But since Riley wasn't actually using it as a camcorder, he was kind of using it as a prop to get the laser pointer in the door. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he had a cheap one for this.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
Otherwise, this is going to get, could potentially get really, really pricey.
Okay. I can't believe we're only through like a few things.
I still have like almost half a page of notes on this one heist. Guys,
Okay.
this is going to get a lot faster once we leave the first National Treasure movie because, as we learn in episode 71, every other heist in this entire franchise is far less complicated.
Very true.
So that might lead you to predict that this is going to be a really expensive heist. We'll find out together if that's true. Next, we're going to start actually doing the heist. We need a tuxedo and like a janitor costume. So,
Costumes hard to find, I will say,
and
but we'll get there.
surprisingly expensive.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get there. Okay. So today I'm going to say for a tuxedo, $500. I gotta hold my reactions. I have a thought about that too, but I'm gonna hold it. And I'm gonna say janitor costume based on Amazon around $34. National Treasure time, inflation based, 310 for the tux, 21 for the janitor costume. Moving right along. Now, Emily, time to get into some of our favorite stuff, some science.
Okay.
All right, let's talk. I think the earliest science thing, like really hardcore science thing we see for the heist is the fluorescent powder with the black light, with the campaign button. And then there was also the postage required to send it to Abigail. I'm being thorough here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's part of our shopping list, okay? So, I'm gonna say today, the fluorescent powder, way cheaper than I thought it would be. $11. $10 for a black light. Like a pen knife, like a pen version black light, you know? Whatever. For the campaign button, I had to get a little
Wait, you
creative.
just doing that reminded me of when we were in
Sharp knife from a short life.
in chemistry exams, and we would turn around and do that to one
At
another.
the right time, yeah.
Yeah. Continue.
The campaign button, I had to get a little creative because we have talked, I'm pretty sure, before on the podcast about how George Washington didn't really have these campaign buttons. Like, this was fake.
Right.
So I had to come up with some sort of analogy. So I went on eBay.
Oh, love it.
And I just Googled like Revolutionary War era button to see what would even possibly come up. And it turns out that there are a non-zero number of history enthusiasts and collectors on eBay selling uniform buttons from like the Revolutionary War. And so they were going for various amounts. I kind of picked the most common value that I saw, which was $300.
That was the most common? I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
okay, temporally, sure. Yeah. Makes
These are
sense.
old
Yeah.
things. You know, they're, I mean, some would argue that they should be in like a museum, maybe. But
Maybe.
maybe they're common enough that they don't have to be. Regardless, we're going to say $300. And then for the postage, I had to get a little deep divey with the USPS and their pricing system. Nowadays, in 2024, UPS has these like flat rate boxes. So I selected the smallest flat rate box, USPS ground shipping, which is $10.
Okay.
So National Treasure time, $7 fluorescent powder, $6 black light, $186 campaign button. For the postage, I did not do inflation because the way we do postage has changed, Emily. The status quo has changed, son.
Yeah, I yeah, okay. That's fair.
So I looked up how to do this in the closest year I could find was 2002. In 2002, it cost 37 cents for a package for the first ounce, and then 23 cents per additional ounce. For the purposes of this exercise, I was envisioning the campaign button in like the little almost like ring box that we see Abigail receive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to assume 16 ounces a pound. Feel safe.
Okay.
So the postage would have only been $4.
That's great.
It's a bargain, frankly.
Yeah, actually.
Especially compared to shipping it today. Just saying. Okay. Other science thing.
Science, yes.
We're in the gala. We need to get Abigail's fingerprint from the champagne flute.
Mm-hmm.
We have the iodine, the crazy glue, and the finger protector. This step is altogether very cheap in general. Good. Yes.
It should be.
Yeah, you would think. but with chemicals, you just never know. The iodine I found for $22, crazy glue for $6, and it's the finger protector that really gets you because you only need one, but you have to buy them in a box. Mm-hmm. And it's $13 for a box. Really breaking the bank.
Wow. I'm going to be honest, I didn't even know they sold those.
They're part of like science lab stuff.
I don't know.
Okay, well, the National Treasure Time version of this is $14, $4, and $8. Moving right along.
Okay.
Emily, what do we need to get the Declaration of Independence out of its casing?
Well, we're talking about Ben.
Yes.
So, a screwdriver.
Yes, like one of those electric powered screwdrivers.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought these would be really expensive. This is evidence of me never stepping foot really in a Home Depot ever.
No, they're not that expensive.
Okay, no, they're like $28.
Mm-hmm.
Though I will say that I specifically had to look for the big kind. Like, you know, the ones that are like almost like gun shaped.
Yeah.
If you go on Amazon, Emily, they have ones that are pen shaped now.
That are electric?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They just like have a battery or something. And obviously I couldn't use that version because that's not what they used in 2004 mm-hmm. when he paid $17 for it.
Ooh.
But,
okay. Surprisingly not as much less, but I guess it's kind of technology-ish, so
no,
maybe that has to do with it.
Maybe. You're getting very deep into the economics of things, okay. Which I am not prepared to speak.
Okay, I'm sorry. What's next? What's next?
Okay, we only have two more things to talk about. The next one is the easiest of all, because the movie tells us what he paid. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
The fake declaration.
Yes! So, he has an archives gift shop expense for apparently two declarations. All right, today, the National Archives literally has a sign making fun of the movie in this regard because they are $12 each. Is it controversial if I say $12 times 2 equals $24? Because Ben does say I actually had to pay for the souvenir and the real one, so you owe me $35 plus tax, as if the cost for two was $35. That's how I'm interpreting this. I'm saying his two declarations today would cost $24, and at the National Treasure Time, his two declarations cost $35.
Amazing. I like it. Good logic.
Okay, I'm just saying, because at the archives, they make it sound like Ben paid $35 for one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with your rationale.
Excellent. The last thing, again, because I'm being very thorough here, and I don't want, again, anyone to come at me for, like, skimping out on what this heist would cost, I'm going to say that the drive from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia, like the gas involved, is part of this heist because they need to get the heck out of Dodge because the FBI is on their tail. This is where things get very National Treasure Hunt, you all. I was like, we do actually know what kind of car Patrick drives because the FBI when they're like walking into Patrick's house and Patrick is tied up and like Patrick is talking to Sadusky, someone, it might have actually been Armando, comes in and is like, you know, there's a Cadillac DeVille registered to Patrick Gates missing from the garage.
Wow, okay. So Cadillac DeVille.
Yeah, because you know, different types of cars have different gas mileage. I don't want to assume anything here. So I'm going to do the math based on a Cadillac DeVille. Apparently, the best data I could find was for the 2005 Cadillac DeVille. It gets gas mileage of 20.5 miles per gallon. And the trip from DC to Philly is 139 miles. So, y'all, I literally did dimensional analysis for this. So then you have to ask yourself, how much is gas? Well, apparently, around the time of December 2004 in the Washington, D.C. area, gas was $1.17 per gallon. Everyone can cry with me about that for just a moment. Following my dimensional analysis, that means that the drive would have cost $7.93 for gas. So we're going to round up to $8.
Okay.
Today, gas was $3.31 per gallon in the DMV area in December of 2023. So we're talking $22.44, around 22 bucks for
Wow,
gas.
okay.
Big jump.
Big jump. Okay, so you threw out a lot of numbers.
We tired, y'all? Are we tired? I'm so
I am,
tired.
and this is the first
I
one. We have
know, I
more.
know.
So give me what the totals are.
Okay. So, in National Treasure time, this heist would have cost $3,550, which is higher than the today cost of $3,047. Emily, what is
Wow.
your initial reaction to these figures?
That's not what I expected.
What
But
were you expecting?
I was expecting it to be more now. But given what you said about technology and how that was more expensive, it makes sense because I feel like this heist in particular involved a lot of different technological components.
Yes, I had the exact same reaction as you, and I think that that is really telling. This heist is very, very techie. We commented on it in episode 71, and we are seeing the manifestation of that in the price right now. I am also going to note that it's probably fair to assume that Ben and or Riley probably had some of these objects already. For
Oh, yeah.
example, the laptop. Maybe the camcorder, maybe the digital camera and the screwdriver, etc. But I would argue that they would have bought these things at some point. So technically, it is still relevant to include them in this summation. And then my final reflection is from an episode prep standpoint, this was a lot harder than I thought it would be.
I'm sorry for that, but thank you for your effort. Now that you've laid the groundwork, I feel like we have a good sense of what we're doing. So I think, kind of you said at the end we wanted to address after each heist whether or not we thought this was a good investment for the characters. So Aubrey, since you did all the research for this one, I'll let you go first.
I think this was definitely a good investment. It was pricey, I agree. However, there was no way they could have proceeded in the hunt and protected the declaration if they did not do this. You know, technically, if Ian stole the declaration, they could have stolen it from him, but there's a very good chance Ian would have destroyed it by the time they got their hands on it. So I think there was no other choice. I think this is a very good investment. Do you agree?
Yes, I, yeah, there, I'm, there's no way they could have done this without these tools. So yes.
Amazing. Well, that was the first heist. Time to go home. No, truly though, the next ones are gonna fly.
Yeah.
So I also have the distinct pleasure of doing the National Treasure 2 heist, kidnapping the President of the United States, and we are, just as a reminder, shifting our inflation and our temporal scale to the year 2007. So we're doing 2007 and 2023 prices for our shopping list. Emily, my
Yes.
first item on my shopping list is I have to rent a speedboat.
Oh, wow.
Did you just completely forget about that?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't remember, Patrick drops off Ben in his scuba gear in the Potomac River from a speedboat. It turns out, this is very good info for me. I live in the DC area. Maybe this is knowledge I can implement one day. It is about $85 per hour to rent a speedboat in DC. I'm going to say they only needed it for an hour. So we're going to say 85 bucks. And in National Treasure 2 time, this would be 58 bucks.
Okay, 58. Okay.
Next thing. Did you remember that Ben had to swim ashore?
Yes, that I remembered.
Okay, great. So he needed diving equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, interestingly enough, National Treasure 2, not a techie heist literally at all, but we do have a big roller item here, and that is the diving equipment. This blew my mind. Apparently, diving equipment for a full set today costs between $800 and $5,000. So we're going to go smack dab in the middle and say $2,900.
Okay. Okay.
Adjusted for inflation, National Treasure 2 time, this was just under $2,000, $1,986.
Wow.
Emily, what was Ben wearing under the scuba gear that you thought he wasn't wearing? So what was he presumably, you know, landing on the bank of the Potomac in a very soppy outfit? What was he wearing?
A tuxedo.
Yeah, tuxedo. And he was carrying champagne. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to say $500 again for the tuxedo today. We maintain consistency. We are scientists here. And then the champagne is really just a prop for him. So I'm going to say fairly cheap one, $35. National Treasure 2 time, this translates to $342 for the tux and $24 for the champagne.
Okay.
So
yeah, I like the cheap champagne concept.
Yeah, I'm being rational here. Then there comes to like the central, most important physical element of this heist, and it's going to be the most problematic. Do you have any idea what I'm referring to, Emily?
I don't.
The map. So, yeah, the map of Mount Vernon that was sketched by George Washington. It shows the tunnels. This is like really hurt me because it's quintessential to the heist, but obviously we know straight from the mouth of Mount Vernon, this map doesn't exist. So I was really trying to find something for sale, like on eBay, related to George Washington's sketches or Revolutionary War sketches or something like that. And because those things would very much exist in a museum or the visitor center of Mount Vernon, I had to go with like a general map from the Revolutionary War era. Sorry, everyone. I feel the need to apologize. Do not jump down my throat. And so for this, I averaged two generic Rev War era maps from eBay for $175, which would be $120 in the year 2007. Don't okay. at me, people. Seriously.
Don't do it.
All right, Emily, I am already at the last piece of this heist. I told you it would be so much faster.
Wow.
Do you have any idea what it is? She's like, I literally hate
I
this
want
heist.
To know.
I hate this heist so much, and you're quizzing me on it. If we considered the drive from DC to Philly to be part of the heist in the first movie, I definitely, definitely think driving from wherever the heck they were outside of the Mount Vernon property to the Library of Congress needs to count for this one. So that's a 17-mile drive. We are going to say that Patrick is, since he's driving, we're going to say he's driving his DeVille. So in National Treasure 2 time, gas was $2.37 per gallon in December of 2007. Don't yell at me, people. Apparently, there was literally a spike in gas prices that exact month for some reason. I'm not an economist. I don't know why. I'm just telling you what I found. So at that price, this 17-mile drive would have cost basically $2. Today, $3.31 per gallon in the DMV in December 2023 again. This is going to be just a little bit more at about $3. So,
okay.
This heist obviously had like 80% fewer elements physically to it. You might therefore expect that its cost would have been way cheaper, especially because there was exactly zero technology involved.
Yeah.
That's what you'd think, right?
Is it not?
Not even a little bit. The National Treasure 2 era total for this heist is $2,532. But today, Emily, today, $3,698. It's basically $3,700 today. We're talking today's total is greater than the National Treasure 2-time total by more than $1,000. It is also higher than the cost for the National Treasure 1 heist for either year. So you could potentially consider this heist, I'm going to dare say, without having even looked at the Edge of History numbers yet, this could be like the most expensive heist in National Treasure history. And like, wow, that's my reaction is wow. The fact that that is the case, the fact that it's more expensive than the National Treasure 1 heist is wild, especially because there's no tech involved.
That's and, literally insane.
Yeah, and it's proving our supposition that the tech costs in 2004 were what really broke the bank for the first movie. In this movie, it's the diving gear, regardless of what year you're talking, but especially expensive now.
Yeah. So, what do... I guess... We know Ben does diving.
Exactly.
Like, he's trained. So do we think we can, like, cut that cost out?
Yeah, I very reasonable to assume Ben has the diving equipment already. And of course, Emily, we also know that he is using the tux from the first heist. He literally tells us that in a joke in the movie. He obviously also had the Mount Vernon map previously.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But we probably shouldn't even believe that he ever purchased the map, because unlike in National Treasure's heist with the campaign button, where Ben either found the button or paid for the button himself, we know for certain that the Mount Vernon map belonged to his great uncle. So Ben never was responsible for the financial cost of this map.
I feel like that makes things easier.
For sure. But if you are considering the big picture, you know, in case any of our listeners are considering conducting this heist themselves, which we cannot in good faith recommend.
Don't do it.
I would say that this is poor bang for your buck in general, based on the overall cost compared to the number of components of your heist, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And especially for the quality.
Right.
Of the heist. Like, I'm sorry, it's not a good heist, okay? So, like, we need to accept that.
So does that mean you think that this heist was not a good investment?
Oh, no. I think it was a dumb investment.
Okay, I'm gonna be a little more objective, okay? Honestly, as objectively as possible, I actually think this is only a good investment if you already have the tux, the diving gear, and the map like Ben does. If you discount those costs, this heist only prices out to $123 today, or $84 in 2007. What? Yeah, get rid of those three things, and this could literally be paid for with a single bill of currency. You know, if you're not taking into account the cost of your freedom because you are ultimately kidnapping the president.
Bold.
Thank you. I was
Bold.
really hoping to land that one. But if you are paying for everything that is actually used, this is absolutely not a good investment, especially because we learn later that Agent Sadusky could have told Ben and therefore could probably tell you where the book was the entire time.
Yeah. But he wasn't gonna.
No, he wasn't gonna, but I argue that under duress, he may have. Maybe the heist should have been torturing Agent Sadusky instead of kidnapping the President of the United States.
Okay. On that note, thank you so much, Aubrey, for your contributions and the kind of crazy spin they took there at the end.
Is my specialty.
Okay, I'm gonna try to go through mine a little quickly, because I know this is it's a long one, but I mean this is cool stuff, everyone. I do want to explain. I did some unique things here. I did follow the instructions that we laid out in the beginning, but I did some unique things here. Okay.
Am I going to be mad at you?
It's possible.
Great.
So I'm gonna start talking about the Edge of History heists. As a reminder, we are only calculating these for the year 2023. Okay, like we're not, Edge of History is not that far removed. So okay, don't at me about that. Okay, so we're talking Graceland here. So remember, we had to go into Graceland and we didn't know what we were looking for.
Correct.
Eventually, found a recording of a record and things went down. So let's walk through what we needed in our shopping list for the heist. So the first thing that's needed is Tasha's laptop and software, presumably, that she would have used to hack into the security feed at Graceland.
Yes, because she is our Riley, and we really see it for the first time here.
Yes, we do. So I just want to say that I, went back to my National Treasure Hunt season one roots. I looked at a lot of pictures and clips of Tasha's laptop. As usual in television shows and movies, producers, set designers do a great job of covering up any distinguishing features of a laptop so that you do not know what the brand is, unless you are on an Apple TV show, in which case they're going to proudly display the Apple icon on whatever you're using. So, Aubrey, I don't know if you've seen Tasha's laptop recently.
I make a habit of not watching, close watching these things unless I'm doing research for an episode. So I cannot say that I have watched it recently.
Well, it is like bedazzled. There are some stickers on it, which is like fairly common. I have stickers on my laptop, but then it also has like just this string of kind of like, it's not diamonds, but like they look like sparkly gem thing.
Rhinestones.
Yeah, right. There we go. You cannot, there's no label. You can't see anything. So what I was forced to do was zoom in on pictures that I found online of her using the laptop. Based on the distance from the side edge of the laptop to the keyboard of the laptop, I believe, and I say this because I have one, that she is using a Lenovo laptop. Okay. And given that Tasha is very techie and also makes her like living, presumably, content creating, I am assuming that she has a laptop with like a lot of the bells and whistles okay, but is also relatively thin. And I say this because sometimes we see it in some pictures where it's closed and it's a very thin, lightweight laptop, presumably.
This is a wonderful analysis, and I just need to ask, when did you turn into me?
Today.
Oh my God, I'm so proud.
Okay, so just in case anybody cares, I'm assuming that this is a Lenovo ThinkPad P14 S Gen 4 Intel with a 14-inch display screen. I will say it is not actually the exact laptop because you can see the hinges that connect the top to the bottom of the laptop on the outside of the laptop, and you cannot see that in this version of the Lenovo. You can see it in some Dell laptops, but the shape of the Dell laptops and the distance of the sides from the keyboard is not the same.
You, Emily, you have convinced me.
Okay,
We're
cool.
good.
So, this laptop, because it has all the bells and whistles, it is $2,279. Okay.
Yeah. But I believe that.
Now, for software, I looked into this. Honestly, I don't know. I don't think this she would have had to purchase software for this. And I say this only because there are a lot of, surprisingly and scarily, free resources out there if you have coding skills. And we do see that she is doing some coding in the scene prior to Graceland. So I'm going to say free for that. Okay.
Okay.
So next we have Oren's day pass to Graceland. So how's he getting in? So interestingly, you cannot just get a full day pass to Graceland to just walk around. So the cheapest ticket that will get you into the Graceland mansion actually includes other stuff as well, and is $82.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and it's like a 4-hour tour type thing.
Huh, okay.
You can walk around like the property for less than that, but it does not, it specifically says it does not include the mansion.
Okay.
And we know that he needed to be in the mansion,
It's
so.
literally the only thing he needs to do. Because, again, as a reminder, folks, he is the one who starts the whole plan in motion, posing as like a tourist.
Yes. Moths. Okay,
When
so.
I was writing your shopping list, because that's how we did this, y'all, I wrote all the items to make sure that we both had a very complete list. And I'm neurotic about these things. I giggled a lot at moths. I had no idea how you were going to tackle this.
I didn't either, but luckily I have had to purchase weird
Moths?
things. No. Sheep brains.
As one does.
I teach neuroscience
Okay, moths.
before, and I ended up on the Carolina Biological Supply website. They sell a lot of things, apparently including moths. So I will say that all the moths come in cocoons because they have to ship them, so they're not shipping like free flying moths.
Okay.
I believe, based on the number that we see in the container, the options are 3 and 12 cocoons. They likely had to purchase 12 moth cocoons. Mainly also because of the fact that apparently, like, getting the moths to actually hatch from the cocoons, like, it, like, there's some, you're gonna lose some in that process. So they would have needed to start with like 12.
Okay.
That is $100.95.
Really?
Yes.
That's like a pretty hefty cost per moth based on like density of moth, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think the cocoon,
Adds to the
and I will
density.
say there were two kinds. I don't remember which kind I chose. But there were two kinds, and the other one wasn't available in a 12 pack, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I went with this one.
Okay, I buy that. The next thing I personally think of in terms of this heist, it's probably the last thing I think of in terms of this heist, is when Liam and Ethan then go in posing as exterminators. So, exterminator costumes, two of them.
Yep. So if you try and Google exterminator costumes, they look nothing like what Ethan and Liam were wearing. So I had to get a little creative, and kind of piece this together. So the blue component of their costume, which is kind of like the full body jumpsuit, I looked this up on Amazon and I found a specific kind. I'm going to spare you the brand name, but they would be $39.99 each. Okay. And then when I was watching the scene, I noticed that they had like a little patch on the thing that said like the exterminating company. So you can actually buy iron-on exterminator patches. These are $9.95 each. It's not the same exact one, but they could have done this. And then quintessentially, they had baseball caps that had like a bad hair wig like sewn into it. And so I had to kind of guesstimate with this. I found this thing on Amazon called a USA flag mullet cap, which the hair looks just as bad. And that was $22.99. So when you add all this together and multiply it by two, the cost for these exterminator costumes is actually $145.86.
Yo, I told you, costumes so expensive.
Yes. Also, like, clearly never going to be a Halloween costume that I invest in.
At that rate, for sure not. So, is that, am I right? Is that the last element of your shopping list?
That is. So that makes the grand total of the Graceland heist $2,607.81.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, that's mostly the laptop, right?
Yes. So my reaction, first of all, was I forgot how expensive things are. I'm gonna assume Tosh already had the laptop. And
Yeah.
yeah, when you take that out, it's, it's like $500 or less. Still a lot for going into a place not knowing what you're looking for.
Good
But
point.
I will say the thing that shocked me the most was how much the moths cost, which you mentioned. And then I honestly feel like if for the exterminator costumes they had not used the hair in the baseball caps, that would have cut the cost down quite a bit.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So was it a good investment? Probably not, but they needed it to get the information they got. So in the sense of doing it for the good of the people, yes.
You know, I would argue that the thing that you have to ask about these heists is, could they have accomplished their end goal in any other way? And like, for example, that's why the investment on the National Treasure One heist is so good. There was no other way. For something like this, I agree that this is like the most direct and straightforward way, but could Oren have bought that day pass and just kind of like hung out in the shadows and like kind of followed workers around to see where there might have been like a special secret door, you know?
Based on this, no, because he would have been on a tour.
Fair. That's a good point.
But I understand what you're saying. Like, yes, I feel like there was probably a better way to have done this heist. I don't know what it is, but I think there was one.
Okay. I appreciate that assessment. Let's move on to the second Edge of History heist, which was our one of our well, we just think of dances when we think of this one, let me be honest. It's the governor's mansion. So, Emily, your shopping list for this one, if I'm not mistaken, is very brief.
Very brief. So the first thing is five tickets to the Governor's Gala. And when I saw that, I was like, what the actual f
Huggers!
Aubrey, are you asking me to do? This is clearly not something that you can actually do.
Did I get a little bit of joy at looking at what some of your shopping list items were and just wondering how you were going to pull it off and then really hoping you would pull a miracle out of a hat? Yes.
Yeah, and I did. So apparently, if you, I Googled it, and in just 2023, the public was invited to the governor's ball, as it is called in Louisiana.
What?
And tickets were $100 per person.
So this ended up being a very easy task for you.
That one, yeah. So $100 times five is $500. So $500 for tickets. Three tuxedos. Now, I just went, I'm going to be honest, I went with your cost of tuxedos. I am going to say that I do think Liam's tuxedo might have been a little less expensive because it kind of looks like something he, like, pulled out of a storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended, but it looks really old and weird. So anyway, if we're assuming they're all about $500, they're buying them and stuff, it's going to be $1,500 for tuxedos. And then the two dresses I had a little bit of fun with. So I actually looked these up.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Did you give me links so I could share pictures of the dresses when we do this episode? Yeah. Yay!
So this link, the first link that Aubrey is talking about is for Jess's dress. It is not exactly the same dress, but it is very, very similar to the dress.
It is so pretty. Wait, how did you find this?
So I went to the pictures from the scene and found a couple different angles and then looked up floor length dresses with spaghetti straps and then scrolled through Amazon until I found and pockets, because she has her hand in her pocket at one point. And I scrolled through Amazon until I found one that had the kind of like the boob covering in the same way. And unfortunately, I did have to look at a picture of Jess and Ethan dancing.
So sorry for you.
Because she has her leg up in the air at one point. And at that point, you can see the material of the dress is somewhat sheer.
Like chiffon.
And a little like floofier. It's not like silk. So I think it's a chiffon. And it has a V-neck, and so I literally like looked that up, found this dress, and saw that they had it in a similar color. And so the dress that I found on Amazon is $49.99.
Great.
For Jess. Tasha, I actually went a different route. I did a Google image search of the dress, so I found the picture and then like zoomed in on it and had it kind of find me the dress. And I think I found the dress.
What? Like the exact
I'm pretty
dress.
Sure this is the exact dress. I could be wrong, but it's very, very similar, if not. And so Tasha's dress is $89 if we're going with the exact same one. Yes.
I just want to reiterate, please be looking at our social media around the time of this episode coming out, because we will be sharing pictures of these dresses. Maybe I'll do some side by side with the actual images from the show. I'm very proud of you. Well done, Emily.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun doing that. So the grand total for the governor's mansion heist is $2,138.99. My main reaction to that are tuxes are expensive. The dresses seem reasonable, but honestly, like I feel like Jess and Tasha probably would have realistically gone with cheaper dress options. And I was shocked that tickets to the governor's gala were so cheap.
I'm highly impressed that the governor's gala exists just for the purposes of National Treasure Hunt lore. And I agree. I mean, This is the type of heist where you could potentially only have to buy the tickets. Like, it's possible to have tuxes or fancy suits. It's possible to have these dresses already. And so I guess we could say this could be the minimum amount this heist would cost is 500.
And so for that, I do think it was a good investment because I think it's probably very likely that they already had these clothes.
And I would even argue that technically, there was no reason all five of them had to go in. So theoretically, you could buy fewer gala tickets and probably be okay.
Very true.
I'm going to jump in here, Emily, and give you a quick break. There were six total heists for us to look into, and so I had to do one of the Edge of History ones. I took it upon myself to select my favorite one because you don't really like this one that much anyway. I'm going to do the Alamo heist.
Okay.
Okay, so fortunately, my shopping list is quite short for this one. It was like a breath of fresh air compared to the last two I had to do. So it was like a lovely end to my research. The first item needed in the Alamo heist shopping list is a VR headset, which was really interesting because now we're getting tech, but we're really getting what I would call modern tech. And I am not well versed in VR technology. We're talking about props in a movie that probably came from a prop house. Pretty nondescript item here. I used my Amazon method and said that the VR headset would be about $439. I don't know if you have any concept, Emily, of like VR headsets, but I'm just going to assume that's reasonable because, again, they can be way more expensive or way cheaper.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that seems about right.
So, I also had to look into some costumes. I had three Alamo reenactor costumes, one for Jess, one for Billy, and one for Casey. I will admit, Emily, that I did not do the incredible level of piece by piece digging that you did for the exterminator costumes, but I would argue that that was because at this point I was mentally exhausted from the toll of doing still the first National Treasure heist. So I found some generic, like old-time reenactor costumes online, and they're around $50 each. Again, we needed three of them, so we're talking $150 in costumes. Why are costumes so expensive is my thesis to this episode.
Yes, please.
Please, someone
It's
explain.
ridiculous.
Never has Halloween felt sillier to me. There were only two more items really on my shopping list, and they were all transportation related. Because recall, Jess had to get herself from Baton Rouge to San Antonio. San Antonio is where the Alamo is. She gets there by flying. I'm going to say we know very well that Jess flies on a private plane with Billy. But again,
Ooh.
if y'all are doing this heist, which again, I mean, of all the heists, this one you might be able to pull off, you will need a plane ride from Baton Rouge to San Antonio. And when I average the flight costs for one way, we'll get to why in a moment, one way flights from Baton Rouge to San Antonio, they exist on Delta, American, and United. I averaged the costs $146 for your flight.
Okay, that's actually not terrible.
Not bad at all. However, recall, no one can do a heist alone in the National Treasure universe. So there are two other Scooby Gang members who are part of this heist. They are Tasha and Oren, and they must drive from Baton Rouge to San Antonio to pick Jess up at the exact right time after she's done conning Billy. This was challenging because I needed to figure out once again for the gas mileage purposes what kind of van Oren drives.
Yeah, you did do that.
Well, I tried to. It was a bit like your laptop deep dive with Tasha's laptop. This was the type of deep dive I had to do for Oren's van because there is no FBI kindly telling us what type of vehicle we are working with here. And it's particularly ironic because Oren's van is all over this show. Like, they're in this van all the time at Graceland, in this Alamo scene, when they go to Mexico, when they come back from Mexico, when they drive to the Devil's Swamp. Like, they're in the van all the time. Yet there are so few distinguishing shots that give us a sense of what this is. I had to figure out a van to compare it to. Ultimately, I settled on a 2003 Dodge Ram van. Y'all can feel free to look that up and compare it to Oren's yourself if you'd like. You will get a half decent glimpse of Oren's van in episode 6 at 38 minutes and 36 seconds, and you can tell me if you agree. Apparently, according to fueleconomy.gov, the 2003 Dodge Ram van gets 14 miles per gallon. That's very low. So then it became, what was the cost of driving this particular vehicle the 463 miles from Baton Rouge to San Antonio? In December of 2023, gas prices in Baton Rouge were $3.04 per gallon. Once again, we do our dimensional analysis because we are scientists, and we find that this trip costs $100.54, so around $101 for gas. Now, again, when we return, however, we need to get back to Baton Rouge. This time, the van is carrying three people, Tasha, Oren, and Jess. And so we're going to say this is another $101, though it is fairly accurate, probably, to assume it would cost a little bit more because we have an extra person in the car, a little bit heavier, etc. That is my shopping list for the Alamo.
Okay.
Our
Interesting.
grand total, Emily, for perhaps this is one of the most surprising things for me. This might be the least expensive, or one for sure, one of the least expensive heists in the whole franchise. Our total is $937.
Oh.
You look
I mean,
surprised.
yeah, given that it involved a plane ticket.
And like a VR headset, and it involved Billy, who has like unlimited resources, right? I expected this to be a very much more expensive heist. And then let's consider the fact that Billy paid for the VR headset. She paid for the reenactor costumes, and she effectively paid for Jess's flight. That means the only real cost to the kids was the round trip drive for $202. And even so, it's just worth noting that cost is likely falling on Tasha and Oren, and not necessarily Jess.
Very true.
So super,
Oh.
super, super cheap, right? But my real reaction to this exercise is learning just how far away Baton Rouge and San Antonio are from one another. It's a 7-hour drive.
Wow.
Wow was right. My takeaway from this is not cost related, it is the fact that this 7-hour drive makes Tasha and Oren's coincidental arrival to the Alamo at the exact time as Jess is making her escape that much more ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. I this has given me a lot to think about, honestly.
So, do you think this was a good investment, Emily?
I mean, I guess.
The answer is 1,000%.
Yeah, it just yeah, it feels yeah.
It's
I mean, yeah, it was
incredulous.
cheap.
This cost next to nothing unless you're Oren and you like care about the lifespan of your already old vehicle. And they got two of the relic boxes out of it.
True. Okay, yeah. No,
It
you're
is,
right.
you would argue that of potentially all of the National Treasure Verse, this one is the you get the biggest bang for your buck. Two of your relic boxes for $200.
Ooh, wait, that is a good point.
Yes. So
Aubrey's writing that down.
I am about to write that down so I don't forget it, which means it is finally time for our last heist of the franchise. Emily, walk us through, whether you love it or you hate it, the prison break.
Yes, so Aubrey, very kindly did the figured out what kind of van Oren presumably had, and therefore the gas mileage was already figured out. So the first thing that I want to talk about is gas, in case you didn't gather. And that is going to be okay. So we're going from Baton Rouge to Mexico City because why not? Well, we have to get to the prison. That's why. This is 1,197 miles driving at 14 miles a gallon would be 85 and a half gallons of gas. As Aubrey said, for her, gas price was about $3.04 a gallon. So in total, the car trip to Mexico City is $259.92 worth of gas.
That is a pretty penny.
It is. Now, the next part is kind of a rehashing, so I'm going to go through it quickly, but we needed a laptop again, and we needed another type of like sketchy ransomware.
Right, for Tasha to be able to access the prison drainage system.
Yes. So, again, the laptop Tasha has probably is $2,279. Again, I think this software would probably be free, but if I had to guess some, if she had to purchase some type of ransomware, I would say probably for like a subscription, it would be like $100 a month. But honestly, I'm gonna call that whole thing free because I realistically just don't think she spent money on that. Because she already had the laptop as well. So, they also need a broken piece of mirror, as we may well remember, for blocking or for redirecting sunlight into a prison guard's eyes. You know what? We're gonna call this free, 'cause probably can find that. Wire cutters. Okay, so I actually have some experience buying wire cutters, but the wire cutters that I buy are for like tiny wires, and these wire cutters had to be like solid, like good quality, kind of heavy duty wire cutters. So a relatively inexpensive good one seems to be about $13 for some of the more heavy duty stuff. It can range, you know, higher than that, but we'll say about 13. That's what I found on like Amazon. And then once again, we have to consider gas because Tasha and Ethan did return to Baton Rouge in Oren's van. And so it's going to be the same cost as above of $259.92. Though I will say I had the same thought as you, Aubrey, of whether or not it would be like slightly less expensive because there were fewer people in the car this time. But we're gonna just go with that amount for now. So, grand total of the prison break heist is $2,911.84. So I do a lot of driving, and so my initial reaction was like, I was kind of surprised that gas wasn't more expensive for the drive. And yeah. That was, did you have any reactions to this?
My only reaction was that I really struggled with whether or not to put Ethan's, like, a flight for Ethan to Mexico City and then a flight for Oren back to Baton Rouge into this because. Technically, that's how they got to each of these places, but I found both of these characters to be so inconsequential to
Yeah,
the
they didn't have to be
heist.
there.
Yeah, that I just like didn't want to add that in. So just for the record, it could be
Don't
a
add
little
us.
bit more. Don't add us, but it could be a little more expensive if you want to throw some accomplices into your heist.
Yeah. So ultimately, was this a good investment? I mean, assuming that Tasha already has the software and gets the ransomware for free, we're talking about, $532.84. Honestly, that seems reasonable for like this kind of trip. And it's definitely cheaper than flying for the number of people that went, even if not everyone needed to go. And I mean, they did break Jess's dad out of prison. So, I mean, in order to accomplish that goal, I don't know that there was necessarily a less expensive way to do that because the majority of the expense came from getting there.
Yeah, no, that's
So,
a good point. Very good point.
yeah.
Okay, we did it. We broke down the line by line, item by item cost of doing every single national treasure heist. And now I think it's time to reflect as we wrap up. I want to know if these costs make the heists any more or less realistic for the characters who conducted them. So, for example, does Ben need to be particularly well off to like finance his heists? I mean, we know that Ian was his financier, keyword was, right? And Patrick wasn't a part of his life for most of his treasure hunting exploits. So he can, it, the question could be asked, like, does Ben need to bankroll himself? And is that going to be hard to do? And I think based on the analysis for the National Treasure and the Book of Secrets heists early in this episode, I would say that honestly, Ben doesn't need to be particularly well off to finance his heists, at least the ones that we saw. I mean, what we see from him in terms of his clothing, his apartment, he's clearly comfortable in terms of his financial status. And so I firmly believe that he could spare a few thousand dollars. Even we could even think of that, you know, if you save up you could save up a few thousand dollars in a year potentially by like not going out to eat, not going on a vacation, et cetera, et cetera. So
True.
as like an adult man in his probably late 30s, I fully full believe he can finance this himself. We're not talking tens of thousands of dollars here.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's a very fair point.
So the real question that I have then, that didn't surprise me too much. What does get more interesting is the Scooby Gang, you know, Jess and company in Edge of History. We know from the plot of Edge of History that these kids are largely not supposed to be actively wealthy. We know that Jess is in debt from her mother's medical bills. You know, when Oren moves out of Jess and Tasha's apartment, it causes them to scramble. They need to find new ways to make rent. We're meant to believe Liam is like a struggling musician until Sadusky leaves him a house.
Right.
So the question I want to ask you, Emily, is does this character portrayal as, you know, not super wealthy young adults make sense in the context of the costs of the heists that they're performing?
Yeah, so that's a great question. My answer is probably not.
Okay.
Okay, and that's for all of the reasons you just listed. In addition to the fact that we have to like think about the fact that this series takes place over the course of like days, right? And so basically, if we look at like the amount of money that would have had to been spent on this, assuming you don't need new laptops or anything like that, it's probably like $2,000. I think it is unrealistic to assume that even combined, these young adults together had a spare $2,000 for a month. Like in any given month period. I think this is assuming they're even paid on a monthly basis, which like they might not be given that they have like all different kinds of jobs. But, speaking from personal experience, it's not super likely that I don't have that extra kind of money lying around. So if they're in, more dire financial straits, I definitely don't think they do.
Yeah, the other thing to think of here is if any one of the Scooby Gang, I keep calling them that because that's what everyone else calls them, but if any one of them had the potential to bankroll this sort of activity, who would it be? And I think it's very clear that it would be Ethan or Oren. And Ethan, because we're kind of meant to believe law student, like he's in slightly a different position in his life. And then Oren, we know, has those extra wads of cash that he saves in case Jess needs to flee.
Yeah, and was willing to like sell some shoes.
Exactly. So it would be one of them. And then the question becomes, do we think it realistic that they bankrolled all this stuff? And I think absolutely not, because number one, Ethan wasn't even on board until like episode six, like to this whole
True.
treasure hunt thing. And like Oren, I think, would be willing to bankroll it, especially because he's so gung ho and interested in like the Riley Poole treasure hunt vibe. But I think it's very clear that the money he has saved, he's put away for this specific purpose. And
Yeah.
we know he didn't spend that money on these heists because he has it to be able to protect Jess.
Yeah, I
You know?
agree. Yeah. So probably not.
Probably not. Okay. Well, that was an interesting exercise. I learned a lot about inflation.
Yeah. I learned a lot about how much things cost in general.
I learned that Halloween is a sneakily expensive holiday because costumes.
Because costumes, yes.
And I also just want to end by saying sorry to my partner Brian, whose Amazon account I use and therefore used for this exercise, and who now has a very strange Amazon search history.
Yes, and I would like to extend the same apology to Josh. Also would like to say, government, please don't come after me. I promise you that I am not actively trying to hack anything. I just had to look that up for the good of the podcast.
Excellent. Well, with those disclaimers in place, I think we would like to hear from you all now about your reaction to this episode. Are you surprised? Do you think we forgot any items in our shopping list, etc.? You got to give us a shout and tell us, but don't at us. Remember, tell us, but don't at us. Good luck with that.
Yes, so you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at NT Hunt Podcast. We're also available on our website, nthuntpodcast.com. And please go ahead and join our Patreon at patreon.com/nthuntpodcast.
And next time on National Treasure Hunt, we will be diving into a very different topic, hopefully equally interesting, but just a little bit more serious and thought-provoking. Next time, we will be discussing all things Cross S. Nostrum. So until then, I'm Aubrey.
And I am Emily.
And thank you so much for joining us on our National Treasure Hunt.